Good morning and welcome to WPPA Sports Saturday. Set to talk all things high school football this morning. And we'd like to thank our financial benefactors, none bigger than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. They're also open along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, convenient drive-through services, and also online at caclfcu.org, voted the number one lending institution for the past 6 years. You won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you to Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. They've got the dairy line from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice, the pump up your vitamin C and kickstart you just right on a Saturday morning. And also don't forget the fruit drinks and iced tea line, featuring the raspberry iced tea in regular and the diet decaf variety. We're slugging down some diet decaf raspberry tea here this morning because we are ready to
rise, recharge, and recover.
Yeah.
At Phoenix Physical Therapy.
I couldn't remember the three
R's. Five convenient clinics for you: Pottsville, Lawrenceburg, Frackville, Pine Grove, and Gratz.
Yeah, Gratz. They're all the way out there.
Bob Franco, Mike, and the gang. Support area athletics and making sure that you are flexible, doctor.
Yeah, because life is about flexibility.
And motion.
And motion. And an injury is just a part of life. And you could rehab, rise, and recover, my friend, with our friends at Phoenix Physical Therapy. I may have to go see them here soon. Those knees are feeling a little creaky.
That's because you're old. I mean, you know, let's...
Yeah.
Let's be honest, you're getting old.
Yeah, don't forget this week, earlier this week, Chaz, you were out on Thursday night. Blue Mountain beat Lehighton 35-0.
Mm-hmm.
Then last night's action, Mahanoy area, a winner last night over Nativity, 42-27. Jim Thorpe beat Tamaqua 27-18. Williams Valley holds on to beat Schuylkill Haven 22-7. Tri-Valley beat Marion 47-7. Minersville, a 38-6 winner over Shenandoah Valley. Pine Grove down Panther Valley 49-6. Some other games around the area. Chaz will just touch the scores, and we won't recap them that much. But Hamburg, they're in a four-overtime shootout against Fleetwood last night, 55-49. Upper Dauphin and Halifax, they are postponed till today at 6 o'clock. Hazleton gets the win over Dallas, 37-12. Central Columbia at Mount Carmel was canceled when they went the rest of the season over there in Mount Carmel. Shamokin at Milton is postponed. They're actually kicking that thing off right now.
Mm-hmm.
Southern Columbia beat Lewisburg 42-7. And Tuesday night, a game coming up. Columbia Montorvo Tech will come in to 4-6-2 and take on the Blue Deeves at 6:30.
I'm understanding that there's a very, very huge possibility that Columbia Montorvo Tech Shenandoah Valley game Tuesday night will be heard on T102.
Wow. Wow. Very, very, very huge possibility. I would have to probably say pencil that one into your calendar for a 6:30 boot in Shenandoah. That's the week six update, my friend.
You forgot to say North Schuylkill Pottsville was postponed. Quit yelling at me this morning.
Yeah, yep. Sorry.
Man.
Sorry.
Hey, but we will talk to the head coach of the Crimson Tide this morning. Tom McGoey will join us at the bottom of the hour here on Sports Saturday. But, Doc, let's talk about some games from last night. A game you witnessed on the turf. You like the new turf at Rotary Field?
Yeah, it's sharp.
There's hash marks.
Yeah, hash marks now. There are hash marks on it. It is sharp looking. They're doing a lot of nice renovations down there in Hurricane Land, as the little town that could. The baseball facility that looks beautiful, Chaz, as they get ready to put in a turf infield there, and everything looking fine down there in Schuylkill Haven. And after the first offensive possession by the Hurricanes last night, everything was looking fine if you were a fan of the Hurricanes, because you took the ball, you marched down the field 70 yards, you cap it off with a score, and it's 7-0 early on in that ball game. You suck the whole heck of a lot of time off the opening quarter clock also. So looks like Schuylkill Haven is starting to roll as people would be used to in Schuylkillhaven. And, you know, you force a fumble as Williams Valley's first offensive possession gets underway. Then you get the ball back. From there, the offense just sputtered in between the 20s pretty much for Schuylkillhaven. Defensively, they stood the test twice, Chaz. From inside the 10-yard line, they stood it twice in goal-to-goal situations against Williams Valley, who has a bevy of, firepower options to go to on the ground, through the air. And Schuylkillhaven did stand the test twice inside that 10, as I said, in goal-to-goal situations, and turned the Vikings away. And the only problem with Schuylkillhaven is they couldn't capitalize when they've got into the goal-to-goal situations, couldn't punch it in. And inevitably, yesterday, it was the problem that reared its ugly head. And
undoubtedly.
Undoubtedly. It's easy for us to say this morning.
You're saying inevitably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The monster that sort of got him.
When you kind of look, I mean, at Schuylkillhaven, and Mike Farr was honest at the beginning of the year, his defense was going to be where they would be more advanced, so to speak. And the injury bug has hit the Hurricanes. Travis Ritchie, a freshman, coming in at quarterback. Three interceptions last night. Williams Valley's defense is formidable. But Schuylkillhaven holding the Vikings to 103 on the ground, 145 in the air, under 300 yards last night. Coach Farr would never say there's such things as moral victories, I guess. But Williams Valley has the propensity, or shall I say the ability, to really roll things up.
Yeah.
But I'm looking here, Doc, and I don't know if this is a misprint, but there's a cat that I don't see with a catch last night for Williams Valley. And that's Jesse Engel. The Hurricanes must have covered Mr. Engel pretty well.
Yeah, he had one catch, Chaz. It was a 40-yard interception return. In the second to put Williams Valley on the board. But besides that, no, he did not have a catch last night. Schuylkillhaven did shut him down. He was targeted a few times. It was thrown over his head. It was thrown a little bit too wide for him. But, if you would show targets, it would probably only be two or three targets. He wasn't the main feature of that offense last night. And in the pregame, you heard the interviews from Timmy Savage and Mike Farr for the game last night here in WPPA from the fantastic Friday of Football. And it was pretty much right on key. As Tim said, we're going to try to get the running game going. We feel that we need to get the running game going. We haven't had that in the previous five games, and we need to start focusing more on the running game. And last night, that was obvious as Alex Achenbach racks over 100 yards, Chaz, on 19 carries.
101 of the 103, to be precise. So Achenbach taking the stage last night and becoming the feature ball carrier, which was a position that when we saw these Vikings earlier, it was Hunter Wolfgang in the backfield. Looks like he caught a pass for 28 yards last night. But, it's interesting that it all shook out the way it did. And you guys, great job pulling that all together with about 5 hours' notice that you were going there.
Well, great job by the people to get it on the air here at the station. And, when you talk about the wide receiver team, it was Herman and Wolfgang pretty much splitting on opposite sides of the field last night. And then Willard, he was your fullback in the power eye with the deep back last night.
Willard is a pretty fun guy to watch, particularly on defense. He's not real big, but particularly on defense. But let's talk about the Vikings defense last night. Connor Gehring has been tearing up the fields over the past couple weeks. Vikings hold him to 36 yards. It was Mason Reber, 115 yards carrying the ball
King
last
Mason.
Night.
King Mason last night. Does a very good job. Connor Gehring, not the feature as a week ago, like you saw against Shenandoah Valley. King Mason night in Schuylkillhaven is Mason Reber was the king of the homecoming court, Chaz, last night before the ball game. So I was calling him King Mason. He had a coming out party a little bit for Mike Farr. He was the featured back in the backfield. Connor Gehring did have maybe there was something, some type of issue where he wasn't the featured back, because at one time in the ball game he got slipped up on the turf. And it's weird because he and Kevin Fitzpatrick both got slipped up pretty much around the same spot, around the 30-yard line in the northern side of the field. Both of them tried to cut and got slipped up, but Connor Gehring a little slow to get up off the turf after that, and he didn't really see the ball a lot. He didn't. He did have a gimp early, but then it seemed that he worked it out.
Right. Well, next week, Williams Valley will be hosting Tri-Valley, a schedule change on T-102 next week, as we will be between the pines for that showdown. And the Bulldogs keep on rolling along, Eddie. Last night they traveled to hometown Stan DeCosti Field at Metamarian Stadium. And guess who showed up again? Young Chase Herb, who's really been tearing it up. This is the third contest for the Dogs. They haven't lost one yet. And Herb racks up 18 carries, 213 yards on the ground, and three touchdowns to get the scoring started.
Yeah, somebody's unleashed these puppy dogs here in the early going, as this was only their third game, Chaz. But, boy, the first two have been monster wins, and you add that into last night, and you talk about Herb. He has 37 yards in rushing just on the three touchdowns that he scored out of those 213. So, I think that Tri-Valley may be the real deal. And I know, you'll say, well, by the way it looks right now, Williams Valley, yeah, they're good. But are they as good as Tri-Valley appears to be?
Here's a statistic I'm going to give you. I know Tri-Valley's offense has been racking up a lot of points. All right, Chase Herb is running gangbusters over everybody. In three games, probably over 700 and some yards. Tri-Valley's defense in three games has allowed an average, are you ready, of 4.6 points a game against their first three opponents of the season. You don't got to be a wizard to see that they've allowed 14 points in three games. A shutout win in week one, 7 points to a Mono Area Golden Bear team that shocked the world last night, and 7 points to Marion. And that is the extent. I would say their starters probably haven't been scored upon. Maybe Ben Terry last week might have scored on the first squad, but Marion didn't get a touchdown until late in the ballgame.
Yeah, Marion doesn't get that until Ocasio runs for 15 yards out. But, Chaz, you know what? I think it's going to be one heck of a game in between the pines, and sort of it, and you won't hear me say this a lot, I'm a little bit jealous that you'll be there to watch this and to partake in this
You are going to be going, young man, to Mock Chunk, not PV, next Friday. My understanding is this game against the Tide with Jim Thorpe will be the first
inaugural
game played on the new turf surface at Jim Thorpe. What are you worried about?
Me and Bernie are history buffs now all of a sudden. Last night we're involved in the 1,000th programmed game for Schuylkillhaven. It was their 1,000th game in their program. And now we're going to get the inaugural game on the turf at Jim Thorpe.
See? Superstars.
Wow. Superstars. Yeah, the A-team, right? That's what you're going to tell me next. But,
Tri-Valley. Tri-Valley's defense last night, Doc? Look at the total yards they gave up.
Yeah, I'm going to look at that right now. 23.
How many?
23 and 25
carries. And how long was Marion's touchdown last night?
It was 15.
Yep.
So 8 yards before they gave up the Ocasio 15-yard run late in the ball game, and you've got to think that
Cerullo
without
was,
that,
I got to believe this is sacked 6 times for minus 35 yards.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, am I excited to see this game next Friday night in Williamstown. Whoa, baby. We'll also be live streaming that with Skook News.
Ocasio last night for Marion, Chaz, he had 10 carries on 38 yards. So, and you look at Scheib, You know, he has 18 for 213. Wetzel has 3 for 85, but 77 of those 85 come on one big long run late in the ballgame. Scheib has 8 for 53. The dogs are unleashed in Tri-Valley.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Not only is it a big game.
I'll give you the money for the 50-50.
Teams. I don't know if they're making 50-50s, but we'll see.
They do.
If they are, I don't know if I'm going to cut you in because I'll say I spent your money and it'll be my money when I win it.
Oh, okay. I see.
But anyway, yeah, that's the way it works. Anyway, if you give us a little boost, maybe I'll make sure you get cut in on that deal. You got to talk to your smile provider. But anyway, we talked about that Mono area victory last night over Nativity at St. Clair. And, Doc, let me be honest with you. In the first half, the first about 10 minutes of each quarter, the first and second quarter, were boring. But the final two, maybe 3 minutes of the first quarter and 2 to 3 minutes of going into halftime were some of the most ferocious plays I've ever seen, and it got started with a Ben Terry 75-yard run in 11 seconds on the second series. He hit the sideline and was gone and pulling away. You would have thought it was Secretariat winning the Triple Crown. This kid can move. It was like, whoa, baby. But Nativity answered the bell. Jacob Huffman then goes 62 yards the other direction on the first play after the kickoff. And Nativity has a 7-6 lead.
Yeah.
Then the scoring was kind of null and void into the end of that quarter. Then the second quarter gets underway.
Is that
underway.
The time you enjoyed your sandwich in between this
first and second? Yeah, you like that text. Huh? You were everybody was jealous of that Chick-fil-A sandwich.
No, I wasn't.
The sports director made sure that I was taken care of, and he even paid for my Chick-fil-A sandwich last night.
Well, I always have Diane Choclo. She'll always bring me a Chick-fil-A sandwich, and she's one of the Nativity faithful. So,
well,
you know what I mean?
Well,
I'm not sucking up. You were supposed to suck up to the boss. It was boss's day yesterday.
Oops. Nobody reminded me. Anyway, then Colin McGroarty, he scores from 1 yard out. Manley, a 15-yard pass from Ben Terry. That McGroarty 1 yard run came on a very pivotal play. Nativity tried a fake punt, and Craig Durr sniffed it. And that changed the momentum of the ball game. Mono area at that point is up 20-7. Nativity answers going into the half. Jacob Huffman again from 2 yards out. And we've got a 20-14 ball game at the break. Nativity gets the football. Coming out of the locker room, drive goes right down the field. Spolsky, a 33-yard run to cap that one. The kick's good, and Nativity's winning 21-20 at that point. But from there on out, Mono area takes control, and they ran a deliberate offense in the second half. Terry, a 10-yard run. Terry, a 2-yard run. On all of those series, Doc, as the third quarter was about halfway through and all the way through the fourth quarter, Terry would walk up to the line and stand and watch the back judge. And their offense aided their defense tremendously last night, controlling the clock and just letting it skip away. And Spolsky, an 18-yard run, and Manley caps the scoring on the night with a 4-yard run, and Chris Cuff intercepts a pass in the end zone as Nativity was flying down the field without timeouts, under 3 minutes to go. And Cuff intercepts a ball in the end zone, and that set the celebration in motion. Ben Terry last night, I had him for 30 carries, 248, and
29 for 248 last night in the pub. Mm-hmm. Manley 17 of 57 last night. Huffman though for Nativity last night 10 for 137. Spolsky 5 for 68. Miller 10 for 62. So they have some large yards. You look at it, Chaz. Total offense 387 for the Bears. 312 for the Green Wave.
Oh, yeah, there was 700 yards of
offense. 700. Yeah,
it was 700 and some yards last night. It was incredible. Ben Terry not only running the football, Doc. Mono area is not a big passing team, but when they did it out of a timeout, they scripted a play, and that was the Manly 15-yard touchdown pass. Terry was 2 for 2 last night for 52 yards and a touchdown. That's efficiency. That's getting the job done. And the Mono area line, I got to give credit where it's due. They owned the night. They were physical. They were moving people out of the way. And, you know, Huffman was able to break some runs, and I'll tell you what, he's a hell of a cutback runner.
Yeah.
And can he see where things are opening up? But anything inside. Cody Miller was under duress for most of the evening, and it was just an incredible job last night by Paul Babinski and his Golden Bears to pick up a game and bounce around this District 11 Class A rankings. It'll be interesting to see when that shakes up to see exactly what the seeds look like now. And going into next Friday with Tri-Valley and Williams Valley probably now fighting for the 1 and 2 spot. Oh, this is going to be down to the wire.
I don't like to wish away time or anything like that, but you know what? It's going to be great to watch that single A District 11 race because you've got four darn good football teams in there in Tri-Valley, Williams Valley, Nativity, and Monoy, and they're all going to be, seeing each other or saw something of each other at some point. So it's going to be neat. It's going to be an exciting time coming up.
Hopefully we can all get through it. Anyway, Doc, there was a game in 4-6-2 last night, and the Batlin Miners come through, and it's 5-4-4 for the victory.
Yeah, 5-4-4 gets the win last night as they roll past the Devils, and it all starts with a great reception from Schwalem. He had in the extra point. It's 7-0, and Grafe gets a punt return and takes it 30 yards to the house, and it's a Uri 10-yard pass from Schwalem. 21-0 after the first frame. You'll add 17 in the second frame for Minersville. It's Grafe scoring on a 6-yard run and a safety, and Polinski getting a 43-yard pass from Schwalem. It's the aerial assault by Minersville. It's up 38-0 at the break, and then young Kozar will get a 1-yard run in the third quarter for Shenandoah Valley, the only score on the night for the Devils, and it's 38-6. Minersville going home victorious. In the win, 220 yards of offense for the Batlin Miners to Shenandoah Valley's 99, Chaz.
Yeah, the Minersville defense had a hard time keeping up with Nativity a week ago, but it looks like Justin Frantz and company brings that club together and says, fellas, we've got to do a better job. And last night, they hold the Blue Devils to 58 yards rushing, 41 yards passing, and come away with the win. How about Jim Thorpe and Tamaqua in a spirited competition in Lansford? The Olympians moved to 5-1 on the season. Tamaqua has now lost 3 straight.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what happened to Tamaqua over there. This is unlike a Tamaqua Blue Raiders football team. And Jim Thorpe gets on the board first in the first quarter. It's a Fossilino 2-yard run, and Nate Kirby will answer in the second and go 49 yards to the house. And it's 6-6, Chaz. Then Jim Thorpe, a Fossilino, a 67-yard run, 13-6 at the break. You'll get another strike, a pass, or a reception from a Calcano 20-yard pass, a Wickersham 48-yard pass from Grigori, and then Fossilino will get 27 yards from the end zone and take it in. And Wickersham will then answer with a 3-yard run, but it's a little bit too late, 27-18. Jim Thorpe victorious. The Olympians' total offense last night, 243. Tamaqua ran the ball and threw the ball more and created more total yardage.
This is the third game of the year where Jim Thorpe has had less total yards than their opponent and have won the ball game. Wickersham from the quarterback spot running 17 times for 127 yards last night, leading all ball carriers in the game. Fossilino, 10 carries, 99 yards. And you talk about Wickersham with his passing and Gregoire with his passing. Calcano, 4 of 6 for 75 yards. Very efficient in the game last night. Wickersham receiving that one touchdown reception, a little chicanery by the Blue Raiders last night, and Wickersham has one catch for 48 yards and a touchdown. So the Blue Raiders trying to figure out the riddle here, and for Jim Thorpe, just kind of bouncing along. And you know, there's been stories around here that Jim Thorpe is a depleted ball club, but the last 2 weeks have pulled out pretty big signature wins over two of their fiercest rivals, Lee Heighton and Tamaqua.
You know, the stories go around here sometimes are fabricated by individuals who want to take the pressure off their team and take them off your radar, Chaz, a little bit. And that gives them a little bit of, time to get things straightened up. And you got to think sometimes, is it a Is it a fabricated story to remove us from the radar and take the target off our back sort of thing, and just let us do our thing over here, and we'll silently, you know, surprise everyone?
Well, speaking of silently surprising everyone, Pine Grove last night defeats Panther Valley 49-6. A night where Josh Leininger is unavailable to pilot the offense. Mason Crow says, "Put me in, coach. I had to do it last year as a freshman. My sophomore campaign, I'm ready." 5 of 10 passing, 126 yards with 4 touchdown passes. Actually 5 touchdown passes. Morgan with a couple and Nye with another. And Brody Robinson running the football last night, reckless abandon, 8 carries, 122, an average of a lot.
A lot.
And the Cardinals, 269 on the ground, 126 through the air, 395 yards last night over Panther Valley. Clouser, Pasco, unable to eclipse the 100-yard mark rushing. Those two guys have been doing the job for Rick Jones's Panther Valley Ball Club, but they traveled to Pine Grove for probably the first time in a long time, if ever before, and it's the Cardinals coming away with a big win.
Yeah, I'm not sure if when they were coming across 209 there from Panther Valley and they're rolling across through Tamaqua, and then they come through to Schuylkill Valley and they get to Pottsville, and does the big light syndrome take out Panther Valley in this ball game is the question.
There's only one traffic light in Pine Grove, for God's sake. Knock it off. And they didn't even see that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't see it either. They probably came off of 443
right,
heading west and got the right-hand hook into the PGA campus before they got to that one red light. But, you know, Frank Gaffney has his kids playing well. Last week I seen him against Pottsville, and it was not a shabby effort whatsoever by the Cardinals and the Pine Grove area coaching staff. And you know, wins are starting to count here for Pine Grove, and they're starting to get things moving in the right direction. You see Morgan kid, Shea Morgan, he gets 3 touchdowns yesterday, Chaz. Mm-hmm. That's something that, I mean, they've been waiting for it to hook up. Leininger and Morgan just couldn't seem to get hooked up, didn't have that chemistry. Brody Robinson, he gets the ability to run a little bit last night. He gets a little bit of a coming out party, as you talked about. He jacks up 122 yards. Shea Morgan, he gets a rushing touchdown, probably on that jet sweep play that they run, and also reels in 3 receptions for 64 yards, not out of his usual starting quarterback's hands in Leininger, but out of that backup in, as you talked about, Mason Crow.
Well, you talk about the wind starting to rack up here and Pine Grove needing wins. That jumbled the playoff picture, so to speak, Doctor, as Pine Grove is now in the 4 spot in the District 11 3A title race.
Nice.
North Schuylkill still atop the bracket. Notre Dame of Green Pond second. Jim Thorpe now third. And Pine Grove area fourth with Tamaqua on the outside looking in the fifth position. So that'll be interesting. Only 4 teams going to make the 3A bracket. 4 out of 6. And that's how it shakes up right now.
You know, and a lot of people could be sitting there right now thinking, I mean, geez, when they just went over the Tamaqua score and recapped their game from last night, they were 3-3. And Pine Grove is 2-4, and how could they jump up? Well, my broadcast partner was sort of lost in the jumble last night.
Edward, I'm not quite sure how it all fits together.
No,
but I do know the Super Duper Bears won.
No, what is his name?
Bernie.
Bernie. The door on the Forerunner is really hard, so you know. But he was worried about this district power ratings. He hit me on the head with the door last night when we got back here. Gave me a concussion, but he's like, oh, I'm sure this will happen on
the
show.
You're all over the road this morning. But anyway.
And now I'm going to go back to the district power ratings.
Here's the difference, all right?
There's a lot of factors
here's
that are weighted.
Now, when you look at this and you look at total win percentage, yes, Tamaqua area has a better total win percentage mm-hmm. than Pine Grove. Where Pine Grove is carrying the weight is their opponents. Pine Grove, and this has been the case. Outside of Salisbury Township, who's 1-3 right now, Pine Grove has the highest opponent win percentage in the field at .690513. Tamaqua's opponent win percentage, .400850. I know that's a whole lot of numbers, folks, but now, but here's the crazier part.
If people remember the old power rankings, like what I think 6A is still done the old system.
No, not anymore.
Not more.
No.
But remember the old power ranking
systems.
They're
all on your total win percentage and your opponent win percentage, and they're kind of divided.
And how many people flush the toilet at halftime and stuff.
Are you ready? Do you know who has, so far, looking at this, you would have to say the easiest schedule? With an opponent win percentage of .290-whatever, is Notre Dame of Green Pond. They're undefeated at 6-0, but their opponent win percentage is so minuscule that they're sitting in the second position behind North Schuylkill, who has lost a game last night and will lose a game next week. And who knows what the program looks like for North Schuylkill after that. But, you know, it's a lot of math goes into this, and that's the reason why they didn't want to use this math exactly to decide who was going to go to the PIAA tournament. They didn't think it was fair. And this is no bigger the case than when you look at the Class A bracket, where probably the most profound or biggest proponent about going into the state playoff has been Tim Savage in Williams Valley. If the season ended tonight, or last night, or today, as would have had to happen, okay, and they use these power rankings to put the District 11 teams into the state tournament, Williams Valley wouldn't even have a shot to play because they're sitting second in Class A. They moved up. They bounced over Nativity into the second spot. It didn't change Mono Area's position at four, but Tri-Valley right now sits atop the bracket.
Yeah.
And again, when you look at it, their opponent win percentage for Tri-Valley
is high.
It's .167. It's low. It's the lowest in the district ratings in single A. Monoy area has the highest at .608. Williams Valley is .267. Nativity is .398.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes sense. Like when you sit back and think about it, you look at I don't know what's going on.
You keep bumping that wire.
I'm sorry. But when you sit back and look at it, Chaz, and you look and you say, well, Nativity, their opponent's win percentage is higher. Well, they have Pottsville, who is, you know, at 4-1. You have Mono Area, whose opponent's win percentage is higher. They have, you know, a loss to North Schuylkill, who is 5-0. So, yeah, I mean, that is where this all works out. And when they talk about schedule, this is why you'll hear on the program a lot of times in the beginning of the season or whatever, Mike Farr will say, yeah, I want to play the North Schuylkill. I want to play the bigger squads because, I mean, he knows they're going to have good winning percentages and up that number for him a little bit and set that district ratings a little nicer and get him that one or two.
You're talking about Schuylkill Haven and Double A right now. Our area teams not showing up in the top three. Palisades, Northern Lehigh, Palmerton, Minersville is 4. Schuylkill Haven is 5. That's going to be a big game coming up in week 8. Penn Argyl 6, Catasauqua 7, and Panther Valley is 8th. So 8 teams will go. Shenandoah Valley, the lone team on the outside looking in, could win Tuesday, put them in the conversation. We'll have to wait and see. In 4A, Pottsville, Blue Mountain, and Lehighton. Well, Lehighton's on the outside looking in now after they fall to Blue Mountain. Blue Mountain jumped from 7-6. Pottsville is the 4 seed right now. So you have ACC, Northwestern Lehigh, Bethlehem Catholic, Pottsville, Saucon Valley, Blue Mountain, Wilson area, and Banger in the mix. And Banger's 1-3, and Lehighton's 2-4, but Lehighton on the outside looking in at this juncture.
Yeah, but, I mean, it all works on the percentages and the numbers and the way it's inputted into the adding machine. And, well, we're going to have a guy on the program, Chaz, who had an opportunity to sit down and look at some numbers last night as his game was canceled, and he'll have to sit up and wait for the inaugural game, as you tell me, at the Olympian Stadium over there in Jim Thorpe, a.k.a. Mach Chunk, to Lawrence on touchdown tips. We'll talk to Tom McGoey, the head coach of the Pottsville Crimson Tide, coming up.
And that's right around the corner here on WPPA Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, worldwide at WPPARadio.com.
And don't forget, if you missed the show, we're a podcast. You can get us on our host site, anchor.fm, Google, Apple, Spotify. I think Pocket Podcasts also have us listed. It's WPPA Sports Saturday.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-721-4880. That's 800-721-4880. 800-721-4880. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Don't forget, coming your way, 1:30 this afternoon, the fourth-ranked Fighting Irish of Notre Dame will be on the airway with the Notre Dame preview. And then at 2:30, it's kickoff between the Fighting Irish and the Cardinals of Louisville.
Yeah, you almost said Nittany Lions this morning. I heard you.
Yeah, I almost did say Nittany Lions. They return to action next Saturday, actually. And
we'll figure out what station's carrying what, because both games with Penn State and Notre Dame are 3:30 next week. So we'll figure that all out. Well, but a man that needs no introduction, he is the star of the Tom McGoey Show, the Chucky Dree Show. The head coach of the Pottsville area Crimson Tide with a vacation last night. Tom McGoey joining us on the program. Good morning, Coach. I'm sure you're better rested this Saturday than most others.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Tommy, let's cut to the chase real quick and in a hurry. You know, being the play-by-play guy and seeing the Crimson Tide week in and week out, a lot of people will say, geez, week one, what happened to the Tide? And then all of a sudden after that, the Tide seemed like a different ball club. It's like a heckle and jide type of thing. And, you know, they say the biggest improvement in a football team is between weeks one and two. And, boy, week one, if you would have asked me after that game, I'd have been like, we might be in for a long season. After that, from week two through week five, you have rolled over opponents.
Well, I think that the easy answer is to say we just gained experience. We played in the Nativity game with, 19 new starters or 20. I mean, everybody was playing in their first game. If you go back and watch that tape, you can see some of the mistakes that our guys made that were, first game mistakes, and it just happened that we made a bunch of them instead of just one or two. Just look at our quarterback, Jay Snowell. He drops two snaps that were hit him right in the hands that, potentially could have led to, first downs, or at least gave us a shot to get a first down. Instead, they put us way behind the chains or killed a drive, So little things like that, without 7-on-7s all year, without, being able to compete, against other teams until, really – a scrimmage in a game, you know, a lot of the inexperienced stuff really showed up. And, you know, we lost the game, but Nativity won it. They played a great game, and they did all the things right that they needed to win, and they kept the game close. And when in the fourth quarter, they were able to, you know, capitalize on our two turnovers and finish the game. So they played a great game as well. You know, but I really think, like, even when we had the interception for a touchdown, we get a block, you know, we got a guy blocking 20 yards behind the play, you know, things that, you know, you typically you don't see a lot of, and you know, just, you know, we made the mistakes and we paid for it.
You talk about Jace Snowell a little bit there, and, you know, his maturity and forming into the position has been very noticeable, has become a lot more comfortable throughout the weeks as plays by play go by.
Yeah. He's, you know, early on it was a lot about his legs, and, you know, after the Nativity game he came out and we wanted to establish him and get some confidence against Myersville, and we threw the ball early, and maybe a few more times than we needed to, but it was more just to get him going, and he made some plays. And, you know, after that, the Lee Heighton game, he had a great game. I think he completed, like, four passes for, like, 150 yards, which, you know, which is great when you can do that, because that really opens up the rest of our offense. And then he just continues to get better. And really, the Pine Grove game, I think, was his best game. He was a little banged up. His ankle was still a little sore from the Tamaqua game, and he stayed in the pocket and was really 10 for 14 for 180 yards, threw a strike, you know, on a play that opened perfectly for us for an 80-yard touchdown. And, you know, that game, I think, really, you know, for me, you know, gave me more confidence in him, and that he's able to do more than just, you know, be a guy who's going to break a run off or scramble around and make a play. He was able to make some plays in the pocket, step up, hit Max George on some really big third downs, and, you know, he's playing great. And then once he's 100% healthy, which I guess if there's a positive of not playing Friday is, you know, some of our guys who are a little nicked up, him and Jet McClure and a couple other guys, you know, we should be as healthy as we can be going into, you know, a big game against Jim Thorpe next week.
You know, Tommy, we talk about Snowell there, but I got to say, you guys came into the season, like you said, with one starter returning on offense, and that was Bobby Walchak, who seems to be shouldering a lot of the running game. But it seems like games in which your running game kicked it up a notch, not only Walchak, but you've got a couple different backs that can really change the pace in a ball game.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby's doing a great job. He's a four-year starter for us on defense, two-year starter on offense, has a lot of carries and big games. And, you know, when we want to finish a game or we need to get the ugly yards, you know, Bobby's the guy we rely on. But when our offense is clicking, Jace is running the ball, design stuff and scrambles, and Trevante Davis has really, really come on. He had a great off season. You can tell just the way he was running, you know, for the short off season, but the way he came and attacked sprints and things, he's, you know, our question for him was, you know, we always knew he can get to the outside, but will he be able to run the tough yards inside a tackle? And he's starting to prove that. And it's starting to help him gain, you know, some of the big yards. And with Trevante and Bobby is a 1-2 punch, that's a pretty good thing. And then you throw in Amari Dunn in there as our fullback who might be the shiftiest guy of ours, but also our best blocker. So we have a lot of guys who we can get the football to, which makes, you know, our running game a little bit tougher than, you know, just Bobby in the backfield and coming downhill at you with him. We can change some things up and give you different looks and kind of keep you guessing, but still running, you know, are still getting a lot of runs in there just out of different looks with different guys.
You know, Tommy, you talk about the ability to run between the tackles, and opening up the middle of that field has become evident in the last few weeks as you've been using Max George, the tight end, as a middle field threat.
Yeah, Max did a great job. He came in, and, you know, we like to get the tight end the ball, and he had a tough, you know, I think he had a drop against Tamaqua that it was a kind of a tough pass, but one that we expect him to catch, and he came back and answered against Pine Grove and had three big catches, two that set us up for touchdowns, and one that got us out of the shadow of our own goal line, you know, moving the ball out in the third quarter that eventually, I think, set up the touchdown. So, He's doing a great job, and you know, if we're talking about run game, we got to talk about the O line. Our O line has been playing great. You know, five new starters. You know, that's the group that's kind of played well since the beginning. I mean, we ran for 300 yards against Nativity we just couldn't finish plays, or we hurt ourselves with dumb penalties. But our O-line's been playing great. Adam Stock and David Cook have really been at our guards, the anchors of our O-line, and done a great job of, you know, opening the holes and pulling and kicking out and giving getting in front of our guys on our power play and getting us some extra yards. So, you know, it's good when you have a good combination of skill in the backfield and your line is getting the job done up front.
You know, Tommy, we're talking about the offense here. Coming into the season, you guys weren't quite settled yet at quarterback. But it seems like as that competition went on and you guys decided on who your starter was going to be, Pat Yoder was then shifted in his focus now at linebacker. And I got to say, over the past couple weeks, he's proved big in that second level for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we knew just watching him last year in practice and in some JV games. I mean, we knew he had the ability to be a very good linebacker. You know, we had to have a competition at QB, and he played well, but we just felt like Jace's ability to run won him that deal. And since then, Pat, he's one of our captains, did a great job, bought into his role. The first day he wasn't quarterback, he went out and started playing some wideout for us. So, that, you know, he wanted to help the team as much as he could. And as his experience came and he learned some things from the nativity game that first time starting linebackers kind of figure out, and since then he's been rolling. In the last two games against Tamaqua, he led our team in tackles. I think he had 15 or 16, and then against a completely different offense with Pine Grove, who's a spread open offense with athletic running backs and quarterbacks, he led us with 14 tackles. So that's kind of a, you know, that shows you how well he's playing at the position, because, you know, a lot of times you can, well, Tamaqua ran the ball in between the tackles, well, Pine Grove didn't, and he still led the team. So he's flying around, making plays, seeing things a lot better now, and he's playing at a very high level, along with, you know, Bobby. I got to mention Bobby on defense because, you know, some of his numbers might not be what some people expect him to be, but he's doing a lot of stuff for us that you know, if you're a coach, you realize that he's doing a great job. We're able to put him in coverage. We're able to him to shut down, you know, outside run plays, option plays, zone read plays. Then he can play man-to-man against the guy. He can bring pressure. He's doing a lot of different things, and we kind of got back. We brought him back to where he needed to be after the nativity game, and I think that really helped solidify our defense. Instead of, you know, he knew exactly what he needed to do, and it kind of brought everybody in a little bit. And so I have to give Bobby a lot of credit there too, kind of sacrificing maybe a couple tackles here or there for what's best for the team, and you know. And I think coaches recognize that. Sometimes maybe you know, fans who look at the box score might not recognize that.
Well, I think it's evident for coaches is a lot of times they'll cheat a tight end or they'll cheat somebody else over to give a little bit of help where Bobby's at and to get out there and try to take him out of the play, Tommy. One of the things that, you talked about it, you didn't shy away from it. You're going to be young on defense. You had Bobby Walczak and Adam Stock about the only ones returning as starters on there. And one kid that has stepped up that I've noticed out of the defensive backfield has been Rafe DeSella.
Yeah, I mean, Rafe's kind of been there. I mean, he hasn't played a ton of defense for us, but you've been following us for the last couple of years. He's made some really big kicks for us from, you know, the game winner at Blue Mountain his freshman year and what is it, double overtime or triple overtime or whatever. Yep. It is, to, you know, matching kick for kick and at Jersey Shore in overtime. So he's been in the pressure, and now he's just getting to show what he can do, and he's playing real well, and I think the Lee Heighton game gave him a lot of confidence with that nice diving interception he had, and since then he's been playing really well, and Rafe's a big-time player for us. And the nice thing is, other than Bobby and some of the linemen, a lot of these guys we're talking about are juniors, so, I mean, the future's pretty bright for us.
You know, Tommy, let's talk a little bit about yesterday. It's a situation that everybody kind of, you know, was waiting to happen to them. Either, you know, you were going to be either the team that had the case, or you were going to be the team that was told that you can't play because your opponent does. What's it like when you prepare all week for a game, you're in school getting ready for the night's action, and you find out that your game is off and you're not quite sure what to do? You know, what's that process like going through that as a coach with the team and the whole nine yards?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I preach to the team every week is this could be our last game. I mean, you never know. Unlike other seasons where you're guaranteed 10 games, you know, week one, we weren't guaranteed week two. And, you know, week five, I told him that we might not be guaranteed week six, and here we go, and it came there. You know, it was funny. I was sitting in second period, and I started to get texts. Is the game canceled? I was like, I didn't hear nothing, and then more and more stuff came in, and because people start to hear stuff outside school. I called our AD, Eric Rissmiller, up. He said, not official yet, but it doesn't look good, and then by third period, everything's canceled, and, you know, could we fill in the game? Can we not? And all sorts of other things, and you know, it was just a disappointment. Our kids were ready to play. We knew how big of a game it was. You know, I'm just as disappointed as I'm sure that, you know, North Schuylkill was that they couldn't play either. It's a tough situation, but it's the world we're living in this year, and hopefully, you know, we can get back to, you know, normalcy, you know, in the coming years. But if we could have found out Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, you know, it would have made the week a little bit different, but finding out on Friday makes it a little bit harder for both teams, really.
You know, Tommy, talk a little bit about, you talk about the this year and the normalcy of what comes along with it. This has been a crazy year. The normalcy hasn't been there. It wasn't a normal offseason. It wasn't a normal, you know, two-week, two-a-days type of camp or anything like that. How easy or how hard was it for you to adapt and overcome along with the students?
Well, I just look back and I think about myself and the players in the summertime. We're told that we're good to go, and then 2 weeks later, you're waiting around thinking, "Oh, it's going to be canceled again." And then we're going again, and then I'm about to give out equipment for heat acclimation, and Wolf makes his statement in August. So we think we're done again. We have to wait two more weeks, and we're shut down for 2 weeks, which, you know, really hurt our team, I think, you know, early on in the season. And then we're back, and you know, I just think that back and forth, you know, the guys stuck around, kids really wanted to play, and obviously, you know, I love coaching, and it's what I want to do, and you just got to take every game, be it a win, loss, whatever, and take it as that, you know, you're lucky that you're able to play, and we were lucky that we got five games in. Hopefully we can get our next two, and districts go off without a hitch, but you never know what's going to happen. So you just got to be, you know, just thankful that we got a season in, at least half a season, and kids got to play and got to, you know, walk down the hill of Pottsville. And it might have not been the same with, you know, our game last night would have had probably about 5,000 people at it if it was a regular situation. But, you know, it is what it is. But we started with no fans. I tell you, when we played Minersville with no fans, it was kind of weird in our stadium how big it was. But then we start to get more and more fans. And it felt, you know, Pine Grove, we got to use the locker room and come out. And it felt about as normal as a Friday as you can get.
You know, Tom, let's remind people, because a lot of people have been saying, is this game from last night going to be made up this season? And, I mean, the timing of it all, it doesn't seem that that's going to happen.
I mean, for us, it's going to be tough. We play Jim Thorpe and Blue Mountain the next 2 weeks, and then we have to prepare for a district playoff game right after that. So I don't see how, you know, we're going to be able to squeeze that in. You know, people talk about like a Tuesday or something like that, but you know, we're focused on winning a district championship as well. You know, we won that last year, and we would like to at least compete to try to get that this year. Now, if something would happen at the end, if we bow out of districts early, or there's a week left, and there's an availability for game, and you know, I'd be more than willing to get ready for it then. But as of right now, it just looks tough because I don't know if North Schuylkill is going to be able to play the rest of their regular season or not, if they're going to get that last game in or not. So, you know, I don't know where they'll even be at, you know, before districts start.
Well, Tommy, this Friday night, an opportunity to notch a big win in your belt as you could ruin the opening party here for the Olympians' new turf surface if everything holds true. And are you excited to this one? You mark up and say, hey, guys, let's get it done.
Yeah, I mean, I think this game's going to be a little bit more special for us coming off a bye. I think we're going to have a little pent-up energy that we're going to be, you know, a little bit more focused, ready to go this week. You know, it's going to be another – might just feel a little longer because we wouldn't play for 2 weeks. But, yeah, I'm excited. And, you know, with the team I have, anytime we can get on turf, I find that as a – I think that's a plus for us as well. So hopefully their stadium's done. I like to go up there and you know – play a good game. Every time we go to Jim Thorpe, it's been an adventure for us. We kind of start slow, so hopefully we start a little faster and have a similar result to last year.
Well, Tommy, thanks for taking time out of your Saturday morning. See, we filled up your Tom McGoey Show time this week.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy, we'll catch up with you.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks, yep. Tommy. There you have it, Doc. Tom McGoey this morning. Boy.
We obliged. We filled the contract.
He even has his voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, listen to that. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to wrap up the program when we return here on Sports Saturday on AM 1360, 106 FM, and WPPARadio.com.
Miss the show? Don't forget podcast at anchor.fm. Also, Google, Apple podcast platforms, along with Spotify. It's WPPA Sports Saturday.
Life is about motion, so orthopedic injuries are just a part of life. Phoenix Physical Therapy helps you rise to new heights after an injury by creating a program focused on you. With direct access, you can easily schedule an appointment at one of our convenient clinic locations in Pottsville, Orwicksburg, Frogville, Pine Grove, or Gratz. Your community selected Phoenix is the proud winner of the 2020 Republican Herald Reader's Choice Award. Your life should be pain-free, filled with activities that you love. With the help from Phoenix, you can recover, recharge, and rise. Visit PhoenixPhysicalTherapy.com to schedule your physical therapy visit.
The folks at Gears Dairy would like to thank all of you for your overwhelming support of our new raspberry tea. No matter the weather, the raspberry iced tea and diet decaf raspberry are the perfect blends. Not too sweet, not too mellow. Perfectly refreshing. Plus, you can enjoy all of their iced teas, fruit drinks, and milk products. Gears Dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. The county's oldest family-owned dairy. Sip on, Schuylkill County.
Does your bank come to mind when you think about the best things in your life? If not, consider a financial institution who has the experience in customer satisfaction. At CACL Financial, we've been voted the best bank in Schuylkill County for 6 years in a row. If you live, work, or worship in Schuylkill County, then CACL can help you with your financial needs. We have top quality products like free checking, lower fees, and better deposit rates than the competition. CACL Financial's goal is to deliver quality financial services to our members. Find out for yourself how it feels to work with a financial institution that's committed to helping you. Now, even more convenient with our newest location on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway with easy in-and-out drive-through banking and a state-of-the-art ATM. CACL Financial, voted the best bank in Schuylkill County 6 years in a row in Pottsville and now on the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway. Trust CACL Financial, committed to your customer satisfaction.
I love the radio. It's so random.
This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite.
Radio on a big beat.
I was raised on radio.
Begin the day with a friendly voice. A companion unobtrusive.
Radio. All we hear is Radio Clash.
I'm your radio.
I hit the radio wall.
Transistor.
Quality radio.
When I'm driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me.
Radio. It's on.
We're always on to entertain and inform you. Locally, WPPA, AM 1360, 106 FM.
Boy, that couldn't be more true. We're always on and entertaining and informing guests and listeners on Sports Saturday. Don't forget, we'll entertain you this afternoon as the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, the fourth-ranked Fighting Irish.
And the fourth-ranked Fighting Irish will be moving up this week.
Yeah?
Because the number three and number two teams play tonight, Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, and Nick Saban may be on the sideline. He has his second straight negative COVID test this morning, so... We've got to say thank you to our friends and benefactors, my friend.
Indeed, and none are bigger, doctor, than CACL Financial, 1800 West Market Street in the city of Pottsville. Also, convenient drive-up services along the Port Carbon St. Clair Highway, and they're always open at CACLFCU.org. You won't find a better fiduciary relationship anywhere.
Thank you to Gears Dairy, Schuylkill County's oldest family-owned full-service dairy on the Tumbling Run Road. They've got the dairy line from whole milk to skim milk, the orange juice to get your Saturday morning up and running, and the great fruit drink and iced tea products, now featuring that raspberry tea line, regular raspberry, diet decaf raspberry. We slurped down the diet decaf this morning during the show as they are the official hydrator of Sports Saturday. And don't forget, life is about motion. And, well, with life comes injuries. Give yourself the opportunity to rehab, recharge, and rise at Phoenix Physical Therapies, Chaz.
Indeed. Five locations where you can schedule your next physical therapy appointment. Pottsville, Oryxburg, Frackville, Pine Grove, and Gratz. We're out of time on Sports Saturday here on WPPA Pottsville. The Saturday Morning Oldies Show is coming up next.